The ability to transform the bleak and dark circumstances of this life into something glorious and very good is the ability all those of childlike faith possess. In the field of psychology, they employ a principle known as positive reframing. Simply said, an individual takes the negative picture they are considering and reframes it with a positive twist. God's childlike employ a positive reframing, or should we say a gospel reframing, that not only dispels the darkness, but harnesses the power of God's might to certify, support, and perfect the reframing. This life is filled with troubles, but thanks be to God, His Word is filled with solutions, even to where our troubles simply become a place to overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The field of troubles becomes our glory. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Consider these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. All of these strange and magnificent abilities have been made possible through Jesus Christ in the life-changing, yes, thoroughly transforming born-again experience. Have you been born again? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Are you ready for beautiful solutions to life's most complicated and dire circumstances? What are you waiting for? Click on the Further with Jesus right now for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. God said, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. God said, Mark 16, 17 and 18, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. God said, James chapter 5, 14 and 15, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Man said, give me one scintilla, just one scintilla of proof that God is, and that he authored the scriptures that will hold me accountable to it at the Christian's hypothetical judgment day. Now the record. This is God Said, Man Said, feature article 594, that proves the full inerrancy of the Word of God, and every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. These features are freely offered and are for the edification of the faith of the saints and as ammunition in the battle for the souls of men. Welcome to God Said, Man Said. We are honored by your presence. May the face of our God shine upon you and yours with light and truth. To those who challenge the inerrancy and literalness of the Holy Bible, we offer the serpent who is hidden in plain view. If the ensign of the devil is the old serpent, that great dragon, and if Satan is the god, little G-O-D, of this world, as the Word of God declares, then we should see his imprimatur everywhere, and we do. we see his ensign at the head of the world's Antichrist organizations and people. The Word of God declares that the Satan serpent, that great dragon, wants to be like God. Isaiah 14:12-14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan wants to be like God. In the Garden of Eden, he offers Eve his leadership versus God's another way, and Eve chose the devil. Intricately interwoven into all of society is Satan's other way. John 14:6 reads, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Satan faithfully offers another way, and the sons of Adam make choices. In part one of this series, it was noted that God calls Satan the great dragon, the old serpent. In the Bible, creatures such as are commonly known as dinosaurs were in times of old called dragons, Leviathan, Behemoth, fiery flying serpents, cockatrice, and other such names. Prior to the 1840s, the word dinosaur, which means terrible lizard, was not yet coined. The dragon and the dinosaur are one and the same. Satan, the great dragon, the old serpent, he's just everywhere. The intricacies of Satan's spiderweb by which the souls of men are snared are beyond impressive, yet most of the time his deceptions are hidden in plain view. Let's take a more in-depth look at one colossal satanic snare that's hidden in plain view. When one arrives at the house of faith, he or she is greeted by the Word of God and his Christ. When one arrives at the cathedrals, museums, of the anti-Bible people, he or she is greeted by a dinosaur, a dragon, their Goliath, a symbol of their organized rebellion against the credibility of God and his Bible. Should it then be any surprise to you that Satan, the enemy of the cross of Christ, is known as the old serpent and great dragon? Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 and 2, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. At our house of worship, we meet Jesus Christ and the God of the Bible. At academia's house of worship, their universities and museums, they meet the dragon, Tyrannosaurus Rex, and his companions. End of quote. In last week's feature, we also discussed Nehushtan, the brazen serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness, and how it was a shadow and type of the redemption process that was accomplished at Calvary. Imagine, the great dragon, that old serpent, is everywhere. End of quote. In the Saga of the Serpent, Part 2, it dealt with the city of Pergamos and the serpent dragon worship the world over. Concerning Pergamos, Jesus said in Revelation 2:12-13, And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Jesus said Pergamos, located in Asia Minor, was Satan's capital. Consider these excerpts from feature number 2. The central false deity of Pergamos was the sun divinity, worshipped under the form of Asclepios Soter, which means the man instructing serpent and savior. We see Satan taking on the form of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. This man-instructing serpent converses with our great-grandmother just before the fall in Genesis 3:1-6. Satan's instruction concerning the deadly forbidden tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was to go ahead and eat, and that they would not die, but would be as gods, knowing good and evil. Note that he promises them that they would be like gods, which is Satan's desire. I will be like the Most High, Satan said. From the Bible and archaeology, we find this. The remains of the shrine to Asclepios have been uncovered by archaeologists. A 450-foot segment of the widest section was excavated and reconstructed so visitors to the site can experience a beautiful approach to the Asclepion, notes John McKay. Dedicated to Asclepius Soter, the god of healing, the Asclepion was a kind of Mayo Clinic of the ancient world. Numerous treatment rooms, sleeping rooms, and temples were located here. Patients coming to the shrine believed that Asclepius would heal them. There was no perceived dissonance between science and religion in the ancient world. From all over the world, added William Barclay, people flocked to Pergamus for relief of their sicknesses. R.H. Charles has called Pergamus the lords of the ancient world. Thus, pagan religion had its center in Pergamus. There was worship of Athena and Zeus, with its magnificent altar dominating the city, now partially reconstructed in the Pergamon Museum in Berlin. There was the worship of Asclepius, bringing sick people from far and near, and above all, there was the demands of Caesar worship hanging forever like a poised sword above the heads of the Christians. End of quote. Asclepius Soter not only means the man instructing serpent and savior, but was also known as the god of healing. In last week's feature, we documented the worship of the old serpent, that great dragon, the world over. For instance, the Hindu and Buddhist populations, India, China, Cambodia, Greece, Europe, Africa, Australia, Native Americans, Nordic mythology, etc. Keep in mind Satan's desire to be like the Most High when you read these following passages. Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalms 107, 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. 1 Peter 2, 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus healed the sick and sent forth his servants to do the same in his name. He prescribed the supernatural healing formula. In James chapter 5, 14 through 16, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Jesus says in Mark chapter 16, 17, and 18, And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The Bible does not stand in harsh opposition to the true healing sciences. Jesus said in Matthew 9:12, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But on the other hand, the Word of God does seriously promote supernatural healing through faith in Christ Jesus. God's Word prescribes faith healing. Originating from the wicked spirit of Pergamus, where Satan's seat was located, where he ruled as the man instructing serpent and savior and healer, came many startling things. You have surely seen the caduceus, for it is one of the medical industry's prominent emblems. It is the symbol of the winged rod wrapped about by two snakes. The following excerpt is from an article titled The Symbols of Medicine by D. Nicholas on the web, internet. The caduceus began as the magical rod of the Greek messenger god Hermes or the Roman god Mercury. More than a messenger, though, Hermes was a diplomat and an ambassador and was often believed to be a bringer of peace. In fact, the Romans used the caduceus as a symbol of peace and described the myth in which Hermes, or Mercury, threw his rod between two fighting snakes and stopped their battle, at which point they wrapped themselves around the wand. This ability to bring harmony out of hostility is one of the admirable traits of Hermes, and it aided the god's reputation as a persuasive orator and bringer of good fortune. Hermes, however, was also known as the deity of wealth and commerce, two areas which were recognized as involving a certain degree of dishonesty. In fact, many of Hermes' deeds earned him a reputation as a crafty and promiscuous trickster, and it was because of this that he was honored as the patron of thieves. The association of physicians with thievery through the adoption of Hermes Caduceus as a medical symbol is undoubtedly undesirable, and only those cynics who accuse physicians of excessive interest in making money may find it appropriate. Unfortunately, there is one final significance of the caduceus that should appeal to no one and is horrifying when connected to the medical profession, for it was the duty of Hermes and his caduceus in hand to lead the souls of the dead to the underworld. End of quote. Of course, the underworld is hell. A second and similar issue out of Satan's seat is the most prominent of medicine's emblems, which is the staff of Asclepius, which you have seen as the serpent entwined staff, again from the symbols of medicine. It is Asclepius who then became the god of medicine, and it is his staff which properly represents the physician. Despite the mythical story of his birth, Asclepius was mentioned in the writings of Homer as a mortal physician hero who performed miraculous acts of healing on the battlefield. Later, although the application and selection process was not clearly defined, Asclepius was awarded a divine rank as the god of medicine. His descendants and other followers of his teachings worshiped their new god and formed the cult of Asclepius. The cult spread through the Mediterranean, and by the 4th century BC, over 300 Asclepian temples served as medical centers, equally devoted to healing as to the worship of their god. Hippocrates himself, the embodiment of the ideal physician, was educated as a member of the 20th generation of the cult of Asclepius, end of quote. Consider Pergamus and Asclepius Soter, the man instructing serpent and savior and healer. Is this picture beginning to form? When it comes to faith in God concerning the well-being of their flesh, multitudes have traded in their Jesus for the doctors. If Jesus said that by his stripes you were healed, and then the doctor says you have 60 days to live, the weak in faith are calling the undertaker. Reminds me of the gospel song that says, "Whose report will you believe?" The retort is supposed to be, "I will believe the report of the Lord." Many are able to quote their medical stats, such as blood pressure, cholesterol levels, etc., but can't quote Romans 10:17. For many, without exaggeration, the doctor has become their god. When you do find yourself shopping for a doctor, find one who rejects the spirit of Pergamus and who embraces the spirit of Christ. I personally am not opposed to the good doctors and applaud their services to humanity, but I find the miracle of the prayer of faith much more appealing. In closing, consider some of the fruits of the devil Hermes and his caduceus. Source, utopiasilver.com. The late Robert Mendelsohn, M.D., while chairman of the Medical Licensing Committee for the state of Illinois and associate professor of preventive medicine and community health at the University of Illinois School of Medicine, wrote the following. The greatest danger to your health is the doctor who practices modern medicine. I believe that modern medicine's treatments for disease are seldom effective and that they're often more dangerous than the diseases they're designed to treat. I believe that more than 90% of modern medicine could disappear from the face of the earth. Doctors, hospitals, drugs, and equipment, and an effect on our health would be immediate and beneficial. A study in the Southern Medical Journal reported that 1 in 5 patients admitted to a university hospital acquires an iatrogenic disease, which means doctor-caused disease, and 1 in 30 of these lead to death. Of these iatrogenic deaths, half are complications of drug therapy and 10% result from improper diagnostic procedures. Another study of 850 consecutive patients in a university hospital over an 8-month period found that 36% had a disease caused by their doctor. In 2% of the cases, the iatrogenic disease was believed to be a cause of the patient's death. If you project that figure out, assuming 2% of all hospital patients die from an iatrogenic disease, you get 700,000 hospital doctor-caused deaths per year, one-third of all deaths. Dr. Arthur Mannix, Jr. declared in an article in the New York State Journal of Medicine, "Errors in judgment or technique concerning either the anesthesia or the surgery, or a combination of the two, contribute to close to 50% of the deaths in the operating room. I think what that translates to is that disease is only responsible for 50% of the deaths on the operating table, while doctors are responsible for the other 50% of the deaths. Source: Life Extension Magazine. Condition: adverse drug reactions. Number of deaths per year: 106,000. Condition: a medical error. Number of deaths per year: 98,000. Condition: bed sores. Number of deaths per year: 115,000. Condition: infection. Deaths: 88,000. Malnutrition. Deaths: 108,800. Outpatients. Deaths: 199,000. Unnecessary procedures. Deaths: 374,136. Surgery-related deaths in 1 year: 32,000. Total deaths caused by the medical industry in 1 year: 783,936, with the cost to the American people of $282 billion. Those numbers, of course, are just in the United States. In the garden, the Satan serpent, that old dragon, offered another way, and the sons of Adam followed. Choose Christ Jesus and live. Keep an eye out for the snakes. They are everywhere. God said, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. God said, Isaiah 53, 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. God said, Mark 16, 17 and 18, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. God said, James 5, 14 and 15, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Man said, give me one scintilla, just one scintilla of proof that God is and that he authored the scriptures and will hold me accountable to it at the Christian's hypothetical judgment day. Now you have the record.